Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. We are so glad you're here for this wonderful time of worship in this Easter season, and we're kicking it off with You Sunday. And I just have to take a moment to thank all these youth. It has been a wonderful year, and they have worked hard for this service. And I want to especially thank all the youth leadership. We've had a lot of parents and just a lot of folks in the church that are working all the time with our youth. We're all very blessed by the concern, by the love, by just the support that this church gives our youth and children's ministry. I want you to know that. Some nights when I've been here on a Sunday night, there's at least 15 adults. 15 or 16 adults. Almost feels like we're, you know, it's older adults that are the ones in the youth program. We're really blessed. And I'm so appreciative of Mary Shambo that helped today and Sean Toadvide that worked also. And also with the leadership of our interim youth director, Tim Oldfield, and so many more. When you start mentioning names, there's a whole group back in there and out here that have been so instrumental in our youth program, and we're very, very grateful, believe me. I know you're going to be blessed today as these youth come to share in music and word and prayer and leadership of our time together, so let us welcome them and let us celebrate our risen Savior Jesus Christ.
Welcome. Hi, my name is Isabella, and I go to Lakota Ridge Junior School. As you can tell, we have Youth Sunday here at Faith Community United Methodist Church. By the front of our shirts, I'm sure you can tell that our topic today is Grace. This is so appropriate for the first Sunday after Easter when you think about the acronym for Grace, God's Riches at Christ's Expense. Please stand and join me in the call of worship, followed by our opening music. It is by God's grace that we will gather for worship.
It is by God's grace that our lives are changed.
We are counting on the active and amazing grace of God today.
By your Holy Spirit, in our worship.
Help us by our actions and our faithful followers of Jesus.
For this we give you thanks and praise.
I sing for all that you've done. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy.
Good morning. My name is Riley, and I'm a sophomore at Lakota East High School. Please join me in our opening prayer. God of grace, you have given us minds to know you, hearts to love you, and voices to sing your praise. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the most important things we do this morning is to share the love that we have been given unconditionally by God through Jesus. Let us share this love, joy, and peace with one another. Please join me in a time of prayer. Lord, we know you are merciful. We have been taught that you provide grace and mercy in spite of our behaviors and in spite of our sins. You are a good God that comes to those that need you, no matter what. And Lord, we need you now in our lives more than ever. We know that we are not perfect. We know that our sins are not hidden from you. We know that at times we sin knowing it's a sin. We are human, Lord, and while that's no excuse, we know you love us despite our human nature. Lord, we need you today to provide for us. We need your grace in our lives to provide strength because we are weak. We face temptations every day, and we wish we could say that we always walk away. We cannot do it alone anymore. We need you to give us the strength and provide us with the guidance to overcome these desires to sin. We need you to give us direction in darker times when we wonder if we can even face the next day. You can move the mountains that block our way in life. You can give us what we need in our lives. Lord, we ask of you to come into our lives and offer your grace. We are open to it and ready to accept it. Allow our hearts to always be focused on you. Lord, we know from the scripture that your grace is bestowed no matter what. So we just ask for it today. We may not always be perfect, but we strive to be better. Lord, help us be better. Help us see the clear, narrow path in front of us so we can walk in your ways and in your glory. In your name we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty, some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous. It's love that took our place. Just call it what it is. Call it grace.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you, yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Good morning. My name is James, and I go to the West Freshman Building. Our first scripture reading today is from Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Hello, good morning. My name is Carrie. I'm a homeschooled sophomore here at Faith, and I'm here to talk about grace. Grace is such a crucial point to our faith. Without it, our belief as Christians crumble to dust. Trust me. I can't remember exactly when this happened, since the feeling fluctuated, but last year I started to feel lost. I had learned so much about God and my beliefs. Unfortunately, my faith didn't catch up. Christianity started to feel like head knowledge. I knew so much, but I couldn't explain to anyone why it mattered. I had never really wrestled with doubt before, so this hit me hard. Then, eventually, I came to a realization. In all my learning, I'd forgotten the basics. God's love and God's grace had been completely erased from my mind. The foundations of our faith had been forgotten. I thank God I never truly lost a connection with him. Even though I felt my closeness to God would vary rapidly from day to day, God never left. He was the anchor that kept me there. And last year and this year, God has really shown his grace in two distinct ways, and I'd like to share them with you. The first one is his sacrifice. One of my teachers in my classes this year told me this, and I wish I'd written down the direct quote, but an indirect quote will have to do. She told us that God was the first God in the history, and really the only in our history of the world, who sacrificed for his people and not the other way around. In the ancient world, sacrifices were essential to keep favor with the gods, and even then, there was no guarantee they wouldn't just wreak havoc on you, and mostly just for fun. But God offered his sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to us because of his love and grace and no other reason. Ancient gods also needed sacrifices and needed humans. God needs no one. He isn't reliant on us. We are completely reliant on him. But he requires no sacrifice. His grace covers a multitude of sins, and our sacrifices are nothing compared to him. His grace is truly sufficient, as he says. And the second way he shows our love is by adopting us into his family. The verse I'm about to share you is my absolute favorite verse in the Bible, but I found that no one really seems to know it. I'd like to ask you, congregation, how many of you are familiar with Hebrews 2:11? Not many, not one, so. I have never seen this verse outside of my own Bible or heard this verse outside of my own lips, but it's such a powerful verse. I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me. Hebrews 2:11 says, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters." Not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, calls us his siblings, and he feels no shame about it. And grace, that's what it all comes back to, God's grace and God's love. I wish to leave you with these three things. The first, God's grace and love covers anyone, and it stays consistent through trial. Jesus finds no shame in us. We are adopted into the family. The second is that God's grace is a gift we cannot earn, which is demonstrated by his sacrifice for us. And the third is, don't forget, in the searching or the shame or whatever, don't forget God's love and God's grace for you. If you can hold onto these two foundations, I can't promise it'll be easy in life, but I can promise that it'll be good, because I didn't promise that. God's grace did. Thank you.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carry the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So why can't I say,
completely do. So why Good morning. My name is Joe Nowicki, and I attend Plains Junior School. Our second scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.
Hello, my name is Luke Shambo, and I am a sophomore at Lakota East High School. So, how many of you have ever been asked a question with seemingly endless answers? Probably some of you. I bet that sometime someone, joking or serious, has probably asked you the age-old question, what is the meaning of life? It's really not a bad question, but it comes off as a little humorous because it's impossible to answer in one sentence. There's so many of these complex questions that exist, and I believe one of those to be the question, what is grace? It is one of the best questions to ask, but sometimes one of the hardest to answer. There are so many details and parts and portions and sections of grace, and it's so vast and great that it can't be contained to a simple sentence-long answer. Any answer has to contain some sort of foundation of what you believe about grace, and I always found my foundation to be forgiveness. I lay this as my foundation because when grace is difficult to show, oftentimes forgiveness is even harder sometimes. I can guarantee forgiveness is probably one of the most relatable topics to everyone in this building today. Just as we have been wronged, we have wronged others. We like to turn a cold shoulder to forgiveness because though it is a great opportunity to show the grace of God, it can also spring out the selfishness within us. One of my favorite parables for this situation is the parable of the unforgiving servant, found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. The parable tells of a servant who has a massive debt to a great king. The king threatens to sell the servant and his entire family into slavery if he cannot pay the debt. However, the king mercifully forgives the servant, cancels his debt, and lets him walk free. The servant later encounters a man who owes him a much smaller debt, but the man cannot pay it off. The servant then becomes enraged, chokes the man, demands immediate payment, and even goes as far as throwing him into debtor's prison. Now, I hope that none of us have big money on the line or large debts to cover, but this message carries through all the same. The servant received grace and forgiveness from the king, but he forgot about that grace as soon as he walked out of the building. We may not like to admit it, but we do the same things. We can feel so wronged and that we don't even care about what has been done for us, but only what has been done against us. There's a popular saying in life, forgive and forget, that as long as define the view of how we go through the process of forgiveness. I like to flip that statement in a few ways, starting with the statement, forget to forgive, and this is what really describes what we often do. But I like to take that one step further and make the statement, remember to forgive. It can come off as a little backwards or confusing, but just hear me out. Forgiveness is something that we should show, that should be shown in every way in every situation possible, but at the end of the day, it comes down to a choice. We tend not to forgive simply because forgiveness and what comes with it is just viewed as too difficult or just strained. Now, nobody said this forgiveness would be easy, but remembering can make it a whole lot easier. Not only can we remember what people have done for us in the past and how we have been forgiven, but we must remember what Jesus did for us. We must remember how he died on the cross and the everlasting forgiveness he bestowed upon us. Don't just remember in the times when you need forgiveness, but remember every day. Remember in the morning, remember in the afternoon, and remember in the evening. This is what remember to forgive means. If you remember what Jesus did for you in the past, the future suddenly becomes a whole lot easier. And so I challenge you today to not simply forgive and forget, but to remember. Remember what Jesus did, and always remember to reflect the grace of our Savior. Thank you.
Letting go of every single dream, lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. Try to win this.
My name is Ben. I'm a seventh grader at Liberty Junior High School. Our third scripture reading today is from Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Good morning. My name is Max. I'm a senior here, and I go to East. Grace is something we all need in life, but just don't think we may deserve it. I like to think of the acronym for grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 reads, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This means we don't have to do anything to deserve grace. We just have to believe in God's grace for us. For me, I didn't realize it until one of our amazing adult leaders, Tim Oldfield, asked me to do a personal testimony of grace for Youth Sunday. Grace has come into my life in many forms, from patience to forgiving me for not making the wise choices. Every Thursday night, back when I was in elementary school, a few of us would come to church while our parents were at choir rehearsal, and someone would watch us while we all hung out. And we had fun, but there were some times when we'd get a little too crazy and things would get out of control. But instead of the person who was watching us going and telling our parents we were misbehaving, they would sit us down and talk to us and help us get back to the right state of mind, where we would go back and to the fun and games, but stay calm when we did it. Another example of grace is when in VBS it would be getting down to the last 2 days of VBS, and some of us would be getting tired and worn out, and maybe a little cranky. But our crew leaders, who were probably tired also, did not snap at us and yell at us. Instead, they showed grace and were very patient with us and would help us get through the last 2 days. These are just a couple examples where grace has been shown to me in my life. You see, I may not have deserved it, but because I am a believer, it is automatically extended to me through Christ's death on the cross. Grace isn't earned by any of us. It is given to us by faith in God and the belief of his son's sacrifice on the cross. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Nate Nowicki, and I go to Lakota West, and I'm a sophomore. As the ushers come forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings, hear these words from Deuteronomy 16. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given to you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Promised good to me, his word by hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy raised, unending love, amazing grace. The earth will soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever.
Hello, my name is Grady Wilson. I'm an eighth grader and I go to Mason. God's grace is for everyone. Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. In his poem, Deborah Ann expresses what God's grace is about beautifully. Grace restores the broken pieces, fills in the cracks, smooths the creases. Grace heals the heart that aches, mends the wounds, patches the scrapes. Grace renews the mind unraveled, reinforces the thoughts that have been tangled. Grace reaffirms the soul, wanting, provides the strength, brings the calming. Grace restores, heals, and renews. Grace always comes to the rescue.
Every evening sky, an invitation to trace the pattern stars. And early in July, a celebration for freedom that is ours. And I notice you in children's games, in those who watch them from the shade. Every drop of sun is full of fun and wonder. You are summer. And even when the trees have just surrendered to the heart, time forfeiting their leaves in late September and sending us inside, still I notice you when change begins and I am braced for cooler winds. I will offer thanks for what has been and what's to come.
So let my love give you room.
help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days, and may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so sweet. Oh, but more than memories, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare.
Good morning. My name is Tim Oldfield. I am not a graduating senior, but I do have the privilege to work with these amazing teens every week, as well as our amazing volunteers, Victoria Skeppel, Jim Bussey, and Rob Meredith, Becky Klunk, Carol DeJean. I think I got them all. But as you can tell, we are privileged to be here with you today. Let's give a hand to these kids, these teens, for stepping up. They just did awesome and pulled this together, so we're grateful. I don't want to forget Miss Mary Shambo in the back hiding. She was key as well in helping in Chad Tovon next door. What we would like to share with you now is how we wrap up our weekly meetings. So if I could ask every teen to stand up and just line up in front, we're going to do a quick example of what we do every week to worship our God in closing. There is an army of them, and no, not all of them are here today. But as you can see, we have quite the group. So one key thing that we do every week is At the end of teen group, we circle up. We purposely leave a gap in the middle for Jesus. We cross our hands and we say our prayer out. This is where we would take prayer requests, where we would also take praises, and we would fellowship together. So I would like to ask you to join us in our final prayer and blessing for this morning. The peace of God be in your heart. The grace of God be in your words. The love of God be in your hands. The joy of God be in your soul. And in the song that your life sings. Amen. Thank you so much. And you are dismissed. Thank you. Thank you.
Father, Son, and Spirit, in water was revealed. The cleansing was for certain with water.